I'm interested to see him talk, hear him talk about what, how he got started in broadcasting Dayton over the years. I'm not sure what year he started. I went in 2011 was the first time I went. But I've known Tom over the years, and we're honored to have him do our program tonight. He's probably known worldwide because of his broadcast of the Dayton Ham Fest, and he also does Huntsville, which everybody in this room goes to. So without anything else, Tom, we'll turn it over to you.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the introduction there. And now you told me I had until 9 o'clock, right? 7 to 9. So I'm going to try to fill that tonight for you guys. I think I have enough to, I can talk ham radio for a long
time. You can see when people get up and leave.
Yeah, I can talk ham radio a long time. I've been a ham radio operator for 55 years. I got my license at age 16 in 1964 as a novice, and it's been a great hobby all these years. I've been active all these years in many different aspects. So tonight, we're going to talk about just two or three different things. I'm going to talk about kind of my experiences in ham radio first. And then we're going to move into some projects we're working on right now, some around-the-world balloon launches and tracking. I'm going to show you the difficulty there or how easy it can be. And then I'm going to talk about Does anybody know what swatting is? You know, swatting is when somebody calls the police on you and they say you're holed up in the room and you kill somebody and you're not coming out alive. Well, our show was swatted January 29th last year. I'm going to give you some details on that in a minute. It was pretty exciting, to tell you the truth, when the SWAT team came through the house. I'll tell you about that kind of toward the end of the show. And then we will... We'll have some questions and answers, so I'll try not to make it very long, and I'll keep the ending for any questions and answers that you guys have. And if you don't have any questions, you can go home early. Let me tell you a little about my ham radio experience. I'm a home brewer. I like to build equipment, and of course, back in the 60s, we built most everything. It was all tubes and so forth. I'm a retired electrical engineer. I retired from FedEx after 35 years, and I manage their international telecommunications all over the world. I'm a senior member of the Institute for the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers. I just love ham radio. And I've tried all different aspects of ham radio, from VHF to UHF to microwave. I'm contemplating to get on some of the new bands, the 630-meter band. I've done amateur TV. I do satellite work. It's just so many things to do there. So many things to do. First, I'm going to play just a little introductory video here. It's about a minute and a half long. It shows you some of the co-hosts on our show. We have a weekly ham radio show. A lot of you might not know about it, but we've been on 6 years now, and it's called Amateur Radio Roundtable. We have some great co-hosts in here, so here we go. You're not hearing audio? You getting it now? I don't know why you weren't getting any audio, but maybe you heard a little bit of that. That's kind of an intro to our show that we have every Tuesday night. In fact, we'd like to invite you guys to the show every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Central Time on W5KUB.com. And you saw some of our co-hosts in there, some of our regulars on the show. We've got Riley Hollingsworth. He's the retired special counsel to the FCC, and he answers your FCC questions. We got Katie Allen in here. You probably saw Katie there. Katie is the one everybody tunes in for. They don't tune in for me. In fact, when we get to the swatting incident in a minute, Katie is involved in a swatting incident. The caller said that basically I had shot Katie in the face with a 12-gauge shotgun, and that's why the police came in my house, the SWAT team. And it's a funny story. I'll talk about that again in a minute. So we got Katie, we got Riley, we got Martin F. Jew, the founder of MFJ. We've got Dave Kessler. We got a lot of great people on the show. And we even have an astronaut friend. I've got an astronaut friend, Doug Wheelock, that has been with us for about 8 years now. And occasionally he's on here, and he also attends the Dayton Hamvention with us. I'm trying to get him down to Huntsville so some of you guys can also meet him there. But the show is on every Tuesday night. We have a lot of different segments, anything from home brewing to QRP to you just whatever. You tell us what you want, and we'll put the segments together, and we'll get the guests in. We can bring them in from around the world. And we also, in addition to our live video show, we also simulcast our show's audio on International Shortwave every Tuesday night on WBCQ, world-famous shortwave station up in Monticello, Maine on 5130. And guess what? We have a lot of international viewers. We have phone numbers, local phone numbers in 65 countries, and people actually call into the show. So it's pretty common for someone in Australia to call into the show some nights here. So that's what our show's about. And we actually got started webcasting about 18 years ago. And the weekly show has only been going on now for about 6 years, but about 18 years ago, we decided to start experimenting with mobile video. And we actually had a camera in a car, and we were driving around. And when we go places, you could actually watch us on the internet. And that was before all these news stations and weather stations, and you know, everybody got video in their vans and trucks now, and you see all that. We were doing that about 18 years ago. Bandwidth was really bad back then, but we were doing it. And then, of course, each year things get better and better and better. And so we started webcasting the Dayton Hamvention about 18 years ago. And we had a lot of viewers around the world. We've had as many as 50,000 people tune in on one broadcast for Dayton. We also give away prizes for people that can't make it to a Hamfest. They may be sick, they may be too old, they may be too young, they may not have any money. You know, there's a lot of reasons. Like maybe they can't get off work. So there's a lot of reasons. And we broadcast a Hamvention and the Dayton Hamfest and other ham activities like that. And we give away about $10,000 in prizes. We have vendors that donate prizes. They'll be anywhere from antenna analyzers, mobile rigs, handy talkies, antennas. We give it all away. We got a little guy here called Hambot, and he'll pick your name out of the chat room, and he'll say, "Are you here for this prize?" And all you got to do is say, "I'm here," and that prize is yours. That's all it takes to win there. We'll be at if you guys get by Dayton this year, stop by and see us. We're in Building 2. We'll be broadcasting from Building 2, and we usually do a marathon, Hamvention Marathon, where we stream 50 hours straight, and we've got a chat room there for people to chat with us or talk to us, and as I mentioned, we hope astronaut Doug Wheelock will be back with us again this year for the 8th year as a co-host. And let me see, I got a picture here of Doug, I think, if you guys haven't seen him. So here's a picture. Here's a picture of astronaut Wheelock here in our booth this year. He loves to sign autographs and pictures. And these little kids here have been coming every year for the last 4 years, 5 years to see him. They were one of them was a baby. And they would come early and they would sleep on the floor until he got there. So it's really interesting to see Doug there work. There he is right there, Colonel Doug Wheelock. He's now retired from the Army, but he's getting pretty high up in the astronaut chain right now. We've taken our show out to Hollywood. You guys, if any of you guys watch Last Man Standing, we took our show out to Hollywood. There's a picture of me and Tim Allen. Tim passed his tech test, and he didn't want anybody to know. And on our show, we like to break breaking news. So I went out in the alley behind the studio there to meet Tim. And I said, Tim, I got to announce this, man. Can I announce it? And he goes, I don't know. You know how Tim talks. Well, I said, Tim, you know, it's kind of in a public database. People are going to start finding out. He said, okay, go ahead and do it. So we broke the news that Tim got his license there. If you remember the show, Mandy, you remember Mandy on the show? Of course, she was replaced last year. There's a picture of Mandy and me, and she's holding up one of the QSL cards there. And by the way, if you send them a QSL card out there, they'll try to put that QSL card up on the wall behind the equipment, and you'll actually see it on TV. I've got my card is up there, and I like to tune in and watch the show and see my card up there. So send your card in and see if we can't get it on the thing there. So again, here's some of our co-hosts right there. We got Katie, we got Dave Kessler, Martin G, Riley Hollinsworth. And then we have a lot of other special people that come in, like Joe Eisenberg that talks about kits, and Emmett talks about antennas and so forth. Let's see, what else can I say about that? So that's kind of where we are on the show. That's where we are kind of with Hamvention. And, you know, one of the segments, one of the things we're doing right now on the show is trying to send a balloon around the world. Well, we've had several attempts. We hadn't quite made it yet, but we're getting really close. 1 year ago, we sent a party balloon, a 3-foot party balloon with tracker. It made it all the way around the world and past Japan, but it hit a storm. And because we can see the APRS readings, I watched it go down. I watched it actually crash in a storm. We didn't make it then. We launched a balloon about a month ago. We put a lot of money into that one, thinking that we're going to keep it up 5 or 6 months. And it made it all the way to the coast of Africa, and then it died on us. So a week ago, we tried the third time. Third time's charm, right? So we put together this balloon a couple weeks ago. And I've got a picture here. Let's see if I can show it to you. And you have to excuse me here. All my pictures are kind of seem like you're not in the right order here. But here's a picture of Ed, my friend, holding the balloons. This is what the balloons look like. These are 36-inch party balloons. And those balloons there actually have hydrogen in them. We're using hydrogen because we get more altitude. Hydrogen will give us about 3,000 feet more in altitude. So that's the balloon we launched a week ago, and we tracked it over the ocean. We tracked it across France and Germany, and it was heading for Russia. We were going to go right over Moscow, and there's a lot of interesting things you can use to track these balloons. For instance, this is a website, and that's our balloon right there, and this is the NOAA predictions. And if you guys are familiar with, and I'm sure you are, the hurricane predictions, you know, they have different models. Well, this is a model for our balloon that NOAA did, and it shows the path that balloon is going to take, and it showed it going right over France there and up into Germany, and it was going, like I said, it's going right over Moscow. Now, it got dark. We don't transmit during the dark. So we were trying to sneak across the Russian border about dark, and then it disappeared. We don't know what happened to our balloon. It disappeared. Now, I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but it's just strange that we made it to the Russian border, and you know, it quit on us. You know, just kind of hard to believe. We use two methods for tracking our balloons. One, as many of you guys are probably familiar with APRS. APRS, you know, in your car or your handy talkie, you know, it has fairly short range. You know, I don't know. I don't use APRS in my car that much, but you can usually hit an eye gate, you know, 15, 20 miles away, right? Well, this balloon's flying anywhere from 30 to 45,000 feet. So it's pretty easy to hit eye gates. So on APRS, we have a range of 250 miles. That's at, you know, 30, 40,000 feet. 250 miles, and there are no APRS receivers across the ocean. None. So if you look at that first line, that little violet line down there, that was our an APRS basically path that we took. And you'll see we had APRS in the U.S., and when we get over into France, we had APRS, but there was no APRS across the ocean here. You can see the little circle there. Now, secondary, we put a secondary tracking channel on here, which is Whisper. And if you guys are familiar with Whisper, Whisper operates on any band, 80, 40, 20, 15, and so forth. We're running Whisper on 20 meters. So when we're over the ocean, or places where there's not APRS, then we'll still get a report back. If we were running just APRS, it might be 6, 7, 10 days that we don't hear from the balloon, and you won't know if it's up or down. But with Whisper on here, we get reports back on where it is. And you can see the green line up there. Now, the two circles I have are nighttime. We don't transmit at nighttime on our balloon because we are solar power only. So you can see once it became daylight, see the little dots across there, we were actually getting tracks across the ocean. So we knew it was still up and still moving there. To show you some of the differences, some of the trackers we're using, look at this. The tracker on the left is one you can buy. It says it weighs 9 grams. Grams are pretty small. Once you get solar cells on there and a supercapacitor, you're going to be up to about 20 grams. Hey, that's getting pretty heavy. But look at the one on the right. I just built it. That tracker weighs only 1.5 grams. That's got GPS in it. It's got the computer in it. It's got the transmitter in it. It's got a 20-meter transmitter in it. It weighs 1.5 grams. Now, to give you an idea of what 1.5 grams is, a penny, a U.S. penny, is 2.5 grams. So this little guy right here is a little bit more than half the weight of a penny, and that thing can be picked up, and it'll transmit 8,000 miles, and it's running 10 milliwatts. That is a lot less than your Bluetooth stuff runs at home, you know. Here's a track we had on the last balloon. You can see it went across France. It went up. I think that track here is at Stuttgart, Germany. And if you look at the information that it gives us there, you can see we were doing 99 miles per hour, and we were at 30,885 feet, and we were heading straight for Moscow. It got dark on us, no transmissions, and then we lost him there. And then you can actually see on this tracking site here, you can see the gray line or nighttime as it approaches the balloon. So you know when, you know, you'll notice when the tracking stops. So I love APRS, but it there's places that the APRS doesn't work. A couple of our balloons went across Africa. There's no APRS tracking in Africa. There's no APRS tracking in the Middle East. So it was about 10 days that we flew, and I didn't know where the balloon was until it showed up over China. China has APRS. It showed up there. It showed up as we hit Japan, and then it crashed. Whisper's really good. Here's just an example of the little 20-meter transmitter. Look at that. We're halfway over the ocean there. Look where it's being received. That 10 milliwatt signal is being picked up and decoded in Iceland, down in Spain, all the way back to Hawaii, and that's just amazing. And the antenna on that tracker, and when you look at this tracker, Like I mentioned earlier, it is very small. This is what it looks like right there, 1.5 grams. And the antenna is actually, you guys that deal with wire, you probably know wire size. You know, you build an antenna, you're probably going to use number 12 wire or something like that, you know, for your 20-meter dipole. We're using number 36 wire. The number 36 wire is just a little bit bigger than a hair on your head. So we have 17 feet of number 36 wire that goes up to the balloon, and then we hang 17 feet down below this tracker, and that becomes 34 feet, and that becomes a halfway vertical dipole on 20 meters. And of course, from the board here up to the balloon, we have some special fishing line. It's very light, and the wire actually goes up that fishing line. The wire on the bottom half just hangs and it blows in the wind. Now, you know, these trackers can be moving. As we went across the ocean, our tracker was moving about 125 miles an hour. So we went across the ocean pretty fast. And I don't know how much this thing moves around up there. The theory is that it all moves together. In other words, when it gets in that jet stream, it's all moving together like this. It's not doing all this stuff, but I kind of think it might be, but anyway, the stuff seems to work, and it's real interesting. Now, it's real easy to get into this. You can buy a tracker. There's a couple companies that make them. They're going to run about $110 to $150, and you just program your call in it, and you hook it to a balloon and fly it. We have both helium and hydrogen. So far, we still have all of our eyebrows and all of our fingers. But we also have the helium. But the hydrogen, we're going with hydrogen because it will take us about 3,000 feet higher in altitude, and we want to clear the storms. That's what kills us. When we hit the top of those storms, then our balloon goes down. So, you know, I'm hoping we're going to launch a balloon within the next 5 days to track, and I hope that we can fly. It's going to be a small party balloon, but I'm hoping that we'll be able to fly it around 40,000 feet, and that should get us above some of the storms here. You know, it's interesting how technology has changed here, and ham radio uses all different types of technology. Here is a website that I use. Right here, and you can see this is great for balloon launches. This is I think this is from NOAA, but if you come over on the left side there and you click on, say, let me get over here, you click on wind speed, and let's go down to the ground. So if we launch this thing at say at 1500 feet, at 1,500 feet, that's going to be the wind, and you can put your mouse over it, and the wind at 1,500 feet, well, it's 50 miles an hour there, 15 miles an hour there. But when we get up to flying altitude, let's go to 9,000 meters. So if we go to 9,000 meters, look at the airflow right there. And if you put your mouse over it, let's see, that's 73 miles an hour, 98 miles an hour. There's 114 miles an hour right there. So, and you can just about tell exactly where your balloon's going because the data we get back from it tells us the exact altitude. We can put that altitude in here and know where it is by GPS coordinates, and we know exactly where that balloon's going and how fast it's going to travel. So that's something that we learned right there. Let's see, what else can I tell you about our balloons here? The two balloons ago, we launched, it was kind of a special scientific balloon. It's called an SBS-13, and it was kind of expensive. It was almost $200 just for the balloon. You don't want a balloon like a weather balloon. Weather balloons are designed to go straight up. They're going to expand. They're going to pop. But when we design these balloons, there's a formula that we use in a spreadsheet. Based on volume, based on gas, based on density, and so forth, we can put the right amount of gas in here to fly that balloon at any altitude. We could fly that balloon at 45,000 feet, and it will stay at 45,000 feet all the way around the world. So, and you might notice there, this balloon is not full. And the reason is we don't want it to pop. So we put that balloon there probably has 8 grams of lift, which is not a lot of hydrogen. But as the balloon goes up, of course, the gas expands. And let's say we've got 2 cubic feet of gas in there. Every 18,000 feet, that gas will double. So 2 goes to 4 cubic feet, 4 goes to 8 cubic feet. So you can see that balloon would fill up pretty fast if you're not careful there. So that's what we're doing now. This week we're going to be flying just a standard party balloon, and we think there's a good chance party balloons can make it around the world. You don't have to have that expensive balloon. We're going to fly a $3 party balloon, and we hope we make it around the world there. Let's see. What else have I got about the balloons there that you guys might be interested in? There's a lot of activity going on balloon launches right now. They're called Pico balloons. If you're interested, just look up Pico balloon. A lot of people flying them. You guys may know Bill Brown. He's the master of high altitude balloons down in Huntsville, and I've been working with Bill. I've also been working with the guy that designed this tracker. And this tracker, he's from Romania. His name is Edward YO3ICT. This thing here about, I built it from scratch. I actually had the boards manufactured, bought all the parts to build this thing. And I quit 7 or 8 times. I mean, even right now, thinking about it, it's tough. I suggest if you want to get in this, try to buy a lightweight tracker. But I want to show you what I was dealing with here. Everything is measured to the gram. All your payloads are going to be in the grams, like 10 grams, 15 grams, maybe max. This payload here weighs... this tracker weighs 1.6 grams, and by the time you put the solar panels on it, it's going to weigh about 4 grams. That's still less than the weight of a nickel. And let me show you what we're dealing with here. If you guys will look at this, that's a sewing needle. Everybody knows what a sewing needle is. It's pretty sharp on the end. If you look right at the end of that needle, that's the parts that I was putting on this tracker. Let me tell you. You had to do it under a microscope. You had to do it under a microscope. And the soldering iron looked like a baseball bat. That's how big the soldering iron looked like in the microscope. And the tip of the soldering iron was about 3 times bigger than the part. And they were so packed on. Here's another picture here. You had to build everything with tweezers. Look at the end of that tweezer. I got a part that's stuck on the end of that tweezer with some flux. That is a small part, man. There's 2 ends of that resistor to solder right there. So, you know, it was a tough build. And I thought, you know, this is tough. There's a picture of the board that I had manufactured. It's a two-sided board. If you notice, it's got an AT Mega chip on the top here, 44 pins. I soldered that sucker on there 3 times. I had to take it off twice. I had to solder it on there 3 times before I got it on there right. There's a picture of the tracker. This tracker with the solar panels on it. And by the way, the little silver antenna there, that's the GPS antenna. That antenna is 4.5 centimeters, and it picks up the GPS, and it goes, of course, into the processor, and that's how we know where it is and everything. If you look at the board there, that's a AAA battery. That is a AAA battery. So if you know what AAA is, that's a pretty small little board right there. Again, there's the SBS 13 balloon. Very, very thin. That's the expensive balloon that it didn't do as good as our party balloon last week. That's about 180 bucks. I'd recommend, let's fly party balloons for a while. And if you can get your payload light, party balloons will go around the world, I guarantee you. There's a picture of the SBS being launched, and you can see the tracker below it there. Let's see. There's our party balloons we just sent. I've already showed you the different sizes between a commercially available tracker and the little small one I just built. I don't know if I'll be building many more of these or not. It's tough. The configuration is pretty simple. You got your balloon up there. You got a string hanging down from the balloon that holds your little tracker. You got a couple solar panels on it, and then your 20-meter dipole continues down and hangs below it. And then over on the bottom there, you got a little piece of guitar string. It's a 19-inch piece of guitar string, and it's your 2-meter antenna. So again, everything is made to hold the weight down. That's a very large tracker with very large panels. So everything is weighed to the gram. So you know, even a selection of wire. I was testing some wire there, and I had some very small wire I was going to make the antenna out of. And look at that, 11.2 grams of that wire. So I found some smaller wire, and look, it was only 2.2 grams. So I cut off almost 10 grams of weight just by going to a different size wire there. So everything here is weighed to the tenth of a gram. We put a fishing line swivel on here, so you know it won't spin. Or if it spins, it won't tangle up that much. Look at that fishing line swivel. Excuse me. That swivel weighs 0.69 grams, and we're trying to build an entire tracker for 1.5 grams. So you can see what we're dealing with here. But you know, we're having a lot of fun with this, and it's kind of like you're in mission control, and you're watching this thing. You're watching altitude every 10 minutes. You're seeing if it's going up, is it down, is it steady, where is it going, and man, you want to stay up all night and watch it. Believe me. So I had my astronaut friend Doug Wheelock. We launched three balloons in Dayton this year. It was a balloon race, and Dayton Amateur Radio Group launched two, and we launched one under W5KUB. And I thought, okay, how's the best way to really get up in the air and win this race? It's to take my astronaut friend and put him in charge and let him launch the balloon. I've got a quick little video here on Doug flying his balloon. It doesn't go well. He crashes twice. So I'm not going to have an astronaut fly my balloons anymore. In fact, he felt like he let us down. So here's a quick little video on how easy or how hard it is to launch launch one of these, depending on if you're an astronaut or just a plain old person like us. Here we go. And hopefully you'll hear the audio. Let's see. Let me know if you're hearing the audio. Let me turn it on. Here we go.
Okay.
Hey, we're hearing it.
I'm looking for my camera
first. It's not a whole lot of audio. So the Dayton Amateur Radio Group, they're going to launch two balloons before my astronaut friend launches and watch what happens. And the wind was blowing really, really hard that day. So we're coming up next. Looks good. All right, so that was his first launch right there. And I apologize for the audio. I should have loaded his videos a different way where you could hear it. But there you go, astronaut Doug Wheelock. His first launch, it wraps around the mirror on that RV. So we go get it. By the way, this is a race. So the two are going, you know, we waited till last. Our strategy was, let's see how they do, and we'll try to do better. So we're going to launch again here.
Hold on.
Yeah, I know the power lines down there.
So you would think an astronaut could get it right the second time, couldn't you?
I should have walked it back down the way.
Go to the edge of that food tent there and walk around this way.
We had a lot of bad wind that day too. There's not a lot of audio here. I could have keyed it up where you're not hearing it feedback. I just put the video in the wrong place. But you can see it, what's happening here. Okay, we're going for launch number two. Uh-oh, it tangles around a power line. Oh, it came loose from the power line. It went off here. So I don't know. I wasn't watching closely. That was the third attempt, actually. So, yeah, he got it in the air. He got it in the air on the third attempt. So I felt pretty good. He told me, he said, "I feel like I'm letting you down, Tom. You know, I'm really, really embarrassed here." So I guess balloon launches aren't really, you know, what astronauts do. All right. So, hey, we've been in about almost a half hour in here. I want to tell you just a quick story about our swatting incident. I'm not going to talk in a lot of detail about it because the case is still open. They have one more arrest to make. This happened over a year ago, January 29th, last year. We were starting the show at 8 o'clock. First of all, let me tell you, if you don't know what swatting is, it's where somebody likes to have fun and they call the police in your town. They're watching your video and they call the police in your town and say, "I just murdered somebody, come in and get me, I got plenty of ammunition," whatever, you know, they want to say. And then of course the police have to act because they don't know if it's true or not true. So January 29th, we were starting the show at 8 o'clock. And I heard a doorbell ring at 8 o'clock. I didn't think anything about it. My wife got the door, and I'm continuing with the show. So, show's going along fine. We've got Martin Jew on here. We've got Rich Moison from CQ Magazine, and we got Katie on here. Well, someone basically had called in with a VPN unlisted number that I had shot Katie Allen in the face with a 12-gauge shotgun. And, you know, they need to come out here. So the doorbell rings at 8 o'clock, and I'm going on with the show. I don't know anything's going on. My wife's talking to somebody, but it's far removed from me. Well, they come back to the door. I didn't know it was the police. They come back to the door, and they start asking her questions, you know, very quietly, you know, are you okay? You know, do you know these people? Do you know this? Are you okay? And you can sit there kind of looking around, you know, see if there's any blood on the floor. Then they grab my wife, two of them grab my wife, and she's barefooted, and this is January, she's barefoot. They grab her, and they take her outside, out to a police car for her safety. And on the way out there, she sees it's more than just a couple of police. There are 17 police cars on our street. The fire department is waiting at the end of the street so they can come in and give first aid once the police, you know, solve this. And then guess what? Then a SWAT team, they shoot my street lights out. Bam, the street lights are shot out. I don't know any of this is going on because I am doing a show. And 15 minutes later, I see some people coming down my hallway. And I'm thinking, okay, they've been talking to my wife the last 15 minutes. It's probably neighbors. It's probably other hams that wanted to, you know, come back and see the show. And that's pretty common. People come back. And I'm doing a show, and I'm looking, and they're all dressed in black, and they're in single file, and they kind of got a hand on each other's shoulder, and they're kind of coming down the hallway. And I look at them, and I said, "Hey, is that an M16?" And he didn't answer me. But he said, "Are you Tom? We need to talk a minute." I said, "Oh, sure, okay." So the show continues. Katie Allen's on, Martin Jew's on. They're continuing with the show, and I walk away to the other end of the house. But I didn't remember I had my wireless mic on. So the whole time I'm at the end of the house, talking with the police, my mic is still on. And so the show is hearing a little bit. They're starting to hear a little bit of, and the police, of course, didn't have mics on, so they're very, very weak. But you could hear them. You could hear them, and Katie's listening, and Martin's listening, and on his show, and they're thinking it's kind of some kind of, you know, joke or something we're pulling on them, because, you know, mentioning Katie's name and so forth. So anyway, they tell me, you know, hey, we think you get, first of all, it got really de-escalated. It was de-escalated in that 15 minutes. After my wife was in a police car, they brought the show up on the telephone and were watching it. The police station had already found us on the internet. They were watching the show and so forth. So it had gotten very de-escalated by the time they came in the hallway. They didn't have to blow the door off or send tear gas through the windows. The police, they did want to call me on the phone, but my wife kept telling them he won't answer because he's on the show. They came down the hall, so I leave and go to talk to them, and they tell me what happened. You know, I shot Katie Allen, or alleged anyway. And they realized by then there's no blood. Katie's not shot. So I bring them back down the hallway, and I try to get them on the show. I said, hey, can I get you guys on the show? And no, we can't get on your show. But they came in here, and they wanted to make sure that Katie was okay. And I said, well, Katie is in Wyoming. She's in Sundance, Wyoming. So I pull her up on the remote here, and I put her up on a big screen here. And let me show you the screen here. Here's a shot from the side of the studio right here. So I put Katie up on the big screen up here. And they come in here, and they're all around here, and you're talking to it, and said, and Katie says, hi, you know, everything's fine out here in Wyoming. And he says, definitely not shot. That's good enough for me. And then, of course, they kind of leave. But they were still around for a couple hours. I talked to them after the show. The FBI got involved. Since we run our own server and our own chat room and all that, I was able to pull a lot of data from IP addresses and different things. And the FBI took that. And I didn't realize it. I learned later that 150 agencies in the United States were looking for these guys. And it seems that our show is the one that broke the case, because of the information I was able to give them. They actually matched it up with the phone. Somehow they matched the name in a chat room. They matched the time, all the IP addresses. And my little FBI agent here in Memphis, he got to go make the bust out of 150 agencies across the United States. He got to make the bust, and he actually, I won't name the specific country, but he went to, let's say, the UK, that area, and with the local authorities, they actually went in the house, had to bust the guy's bedroom door down, and arrested him. So it was an overseas person. They have one more arrest to make in another country. I'm not going to say where that is. Because it's still sealed, the documents are still sealed, but they think that they'll be making an arrest any day. So this has been going on about a year. I have not even talked about it on our show, and as soon as they make this last arrest, I'll be able to give out details, and I could even give out names and things like that. I probably won't, but I feel like I owe it to our viewers to let them know what happened at night, because we've been very quiet about it. But people do this. They call these prank SWAT calls in to watch the police raid the house and come in. And fortunately, they didn't get to see that on my show. Everything was behind scenes, and there was very little talking that they could hear. There are cases where there's been a live fish aquarium with fish swimming. They'll actually SWAT that, and they'll watch that, and they'll watch the SWAT team come in and walk all around that thing. So it could have gone bad. There was a case last year where they shot and killed a person at his house. It was a SWAT case, mistaken identity, basically. New person just moved into a house. He was autistic. When they told him to raise his hands at the door, he didn't raise his hands. He didn't understand, and they shot and killed him. So it could have been a lot worse, but it turned out pretty good here. So anyway, we have a lot of fun in ham radio, in all the things we do. We're spending most of our time on a video and a show and taking ham radio to others. So that's about all I got for you tonight. I've been talking about 40 minutes. That's probably long enough. And I'm here for questions. If anybody has any questions about anything, I'll be glad to answer them. So thanks again for the opportunity from the West Tennessee Amateur Radio Society to invite me to talk to you guys tonight.
Tom, we're glad to have you. I've got a couple of balloon questions. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Do you have to notify the FAA when you launch a balloon like that's going to cross the ocean and Moscow and Hartsfield Airport, that kind of stuff?
Well, actually, no. Any payload, if the payload is under 6 pounds, we fly with an FAA 101 exemption. It's called FAA 101 exemption. That will allow you to fly up to 2 6-pound payloads on the same balloon. Now, that's 12 pounds. And we're flying payloads that weigh like 10 grams. So it's really, really small. There are a couple things you need to do. The line that goes to the balloon, you have to make sure it's less than 50-pound breaking strength and a few things like that. But there's no legal requirements to do anything or to file a permit or anything like that.
Okay. Second question for me is, do you put any markings on the balloon if it lands in somebody's backyard? And could they contact you and send it back to you?
Well, I don't. All the balloons we've launched pretty much have either gone down in the ocean. The last one I know where it fell. It fell in the desert in Morocco. Someday somebody on a camel probably is going to come by and see that thing. But no, I did not put any markings on it, email or anything. I just don't want it to land in some bad actor place where they want to, I don't know. I won't say any more. I just don't want a terrorist or somebody to get it, and get my name. And, it's doubtful that somebody's going to find it anyway, to tell you the truth.
Anybody have any questions?
What website were you using to track those balloons with the winds aloft?
Okay, this site, this doesn't track it, but it gives you the indication of where you can kind of plan where it's going. This is called Ventusky, Ventusky, Ventusky.com. And that's just a good site to show you the jet streams. You can actually move the map around. See, there's the U.S. right there in the center now, and I can scroll in. Look at the way. Look at there. This is there's winds right there of 112 miles an hour, and that's over Oklahoma, coming over Memphis, 134 miles an hour right there. Jackson, Tennessee, 100. At that altitude, you got 125 mile an hour winds right now. But that's not the tracking page. The tracking is done through aprs.fi, and it's also done through Whisper, WSPR. But on my page, on my website, let me go to my website here. This is the W5KUB.com website, and you can see it's basically about our show. But up in the top menu, there's a thing called Balloon right there. And you can click on Balloon, and I'm listing here balloons. here, and you're in links to click. So if you click right here, like on this first one, that tracks it on APRS. If you click there, it's going to bring up the APRS map. You can see it coming up right there, and it's going to show you that our last, that was two balloons ago. At that point, it was flying 55 miles an hour at 41,086 feet. That's the last report we got. We can zoom out a little bit, and you can see where that was. So I'm zooming out right now. And there's the Azores. There's Morocco. There's that was picked up in the Azores. There's coming up on the coast of Africa right there. So that's one tracking I've got on there. If you go down to this next one, it tracks the same balloon, but it's called HabHub, High Altitude Balloon. And it's interesting. This one is interesting. The fact that, let me see if I can find one for you. Let's look at 13. I think that was our last balloon, see if it comes up. It's got the balloon prediction models on there. You can click a little button. It doesn't appear to be coming up right now. You can actually click on a little button over here on the side that says high split, and it will actually give you those predictions. There we go. So that's showing our last balloon here over Stuttgart, Germany. If you click over here on the left, there's a little thing called high split, and if you click high split right there, what it's going to do is it puts the NOAA tracking in. You can see right there now the tracking. So look at that will tell you where that balloon's going to go at that altitude. So that's pretty neat right there. You know, just some models are good, some models are different. But during that first 1,000 miles there, it looked like all the models were the same. And of course, as you get further out, the models start changing up a little bit. So on our page, on W5KUB.com, we will have buttons where you can track our balloons. We hope we were going to launch the next 2 days, but it's too windy to launch. So we're going to launch our next attempt around the world in 5 days when the wind quits blowing so heavy down at the ground. And if you just go to W5KUB.com, you can track our balloons by clicking on balloon there. Anything else, man? Hopefully it hadn't been too boring for you guys. No, I don't see anybody there sleeping except... No, I don't see anybody sleeping tonight.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I want to tell you that the second balloon hit two of our APRS stations when it left Memphis a couple of times.
And, uh-huh.
As I was monitoring as it first took off.
Yeah, and you know, my friend Joe out in Nebraska, he actually tracked it on his antenna at home, all the way, a little 10 milliwatt signal, all the way over the ocean. I didn't track it that far, but if you go to HabHub or if you go to APRS or Whisper, or the buttons I've got on my website, you've got thousands of receiving stations all over the world, and they're all receiving it, you know, and putting that information on the map. So you don't have to listen for it yourself on your own radio. It's there, and it's there. Look at the people there picking it up there. I mean, there's hundreds of people that were getting the 10 milliwatt signal. Well, I'd just like to invite you guys to join our show Tuesday nights, 8:00 p.m. And would love to have you. And if any of you have anything special, or anything you'd like to talk about on a show, we can do a segment on it. If you got something neat you want to show off, we'll get you on a show. We can bring you in on Skype, and it'll look just like your own show here.
Well, we appreciate it, Tom. I think everybody's they're all awake, like you said. They didn't go to sleep, so we appreciate your program tonight, and I've really enjoyed it.
Well, we enjoyed giving it to you guys, and hey, we're pretty close neighbors. You're over in Jackson, I'm over in Collierville, Tennessee, so we're close.
Sure. Yeah, we'll see it. Probably see you at the Free Fest next month.
Yeah, we'll be there. We'll be there. We'll be at Dayton. If you come to Dayton, if you know about the buildings there, we're in Building 2, and we're down in the bottom right hand corner there, right there by the door. We'll be streaming from there. And if you come to Huntsville. If you come to Huntsville, we have a big booth right by the stage. Come by and say hello. I know I've met several of you.
Yeah. And just about everybody in the room comes to Huntsville for sure. And
oh, yeah.
Come to Dayton. But again, we appreciate your time. I know you're a busy man. How is your remodeling going?
Well, you know, the remodeling, this is an old picture. This is an old one. We're quite past that right now. Let me tell you, I went to Hamcation, 3 weeks ago. Went to Hamcation, and from there I jumped on a cruise ship for a week, and then we came back at the Monday, or Sunday, and I got a terrible cold. In fact, you guys probably noticed that tonight. And I didn't come back with the virus. We were on Princess Lines, you know, they got a couple of ships in quarantine right now, but I don't have the virus, but I got a terrible cold, man, and it just hung on and hung on and hung on. I still got a little bit of it, but hey, my house is so full of dust. Back here in the ham shack, you can see as we broke the floor up, it generates dust, and even though we had the plastic doors sealed and all that stuff, my ham shack, all my radios got probably a half inch of dust on them. It's just dusty back here. And I'm sure that probably didn't help, you know, my cold any.
We appreciate your time, and I hope we'll do it again soon.
All right. Anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Good night.
All right. Let me show you one last thing here, man. I like it. How you like it right there, man? my friend Doug Wheelock, he was here in the house a couple years ago when we did a segment here from inside the space station, and Doug grabbed that bottle and took a drink and put the top back on it and just stuck it up here in the air. You know, it's kind of cool. Yeah. We got 680 shows recorded. If you guys have missed any of our shows or you want to go back and look, they're all on our YouTube channel, W5KUB. They're also under our archive button on our website. We got a lot of great shows from Astronaut Wheelock to just everybody. We did the Heard Island de-expedition. Anybody out there know about Heard Island? It was a difficult de-expedition down toward Antarctica. We actually planned that for 1 year in advance, and we had satellite telephones with those guys. We brought them into our show live on Tuesday night 3 weeks in a row. And we could see them walk out the tent. We could see the penguins, and we could see the volcano in the background. So we try to do interesting things like that. And all those shows are recorded, actually.
Yeah, send me a copy of this, and I'll put it on our Facebook.
I have recorded it here, and we'll do it. And I'll just sign out with this.
All right.
Here we go.
So you're saying I can ask this cat any question?
The okay, cat is connected to the computer. You just type in the question, it will read his mind. There the answer goes.
You're the man! I've been looking for this for weeks.
All right. Hey, one last thing. You guys join us. Join us on our, we have a 40-meter net every Tuesday before the show at 5:30 p.m. Central Time, 7180. Hey, join our Facebook group. It has information about all this stuff, and it's a great ham radio group. We've got 9,000 members in that ham radio group. It's called W5KUB. So join us, and be glad to approve you, and thanks, and I've talked too long. Good night, guys.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.